So we're thankful for the ministry of deputation and grateful. She's out of Crossroads Baptist Church. Right now they have an interim pastor, Gary Ledbetter. That's in Columbus, North Carolina. Yes. And she also stays with the Stevens. And you guys know John and Marilyn Stevens. Brother Stevens is, I call him my pastor, one of the pastors that really helped me when I first got saved and encouraged me in the Lord. And he's preached here several times, so she's staying there while on deputation. I want to point this out. Please go by and get a prayer card and go by and see her after the service. She's going to be there to answer questions and just to chat a bit. She'll head back tonight up there in Shelby. It's about a little over 2 hour drive. But then also, God allowed her to have a testimony here of salvation, and she was able to write it on this card. It's peace in the midst of storm. In the midst of the storm, the testimony of a cancer survivor. Joanna actually had cancer when she was 16 years old, and overcame that. And she gives a little bit of description here on the back, and then gives the gospel presentation for people to be able to trust Christ as their Savior. I really love that. And so those are both on our table, and information there. And you kids that want a piece of candy, I think actually from Columbia, right? Yes. All right. So we're pretty clear that it's good though, right? It's okay. All right. Nothing in that, you know, it's just lots of sugar. And so that should be all right. From Columbia. How many of you kids have already had a piece? Let me see. All right. All right. You guys, I don't see you twitching or anything over there. Okay. You're all good. All right. Well, let's go ahead and show the presentation now, and then Joanna will come up and share her testimony. Sound good? All right. Thank you so much, Joanna. You want to go ahead and share your testimony, and then we may even open it up for some questions. So as she's speaking about what the Lord's done in her heart, just please think of something maybe God puts on your heart to ask her. Thank you for being here.
I think I just got my microphone on. Okay, all right. As you know, as been said multiple times, my name is Joanna Smith, and whenever I get towards the end of my video and I'm at a church, I always get really nervous. So it always helps me if I tell people that I'm nervous, and then it goes away. So I'm hoping it'll go away here pretty soon. Anyway, as you also know from my video, I am on deputation to return to the country of Colombia because I've already had the privilege of spending 3 months there in the last year, all told, 3 months. And I will be working with my brother Matt and his family, who are church planting missionaries with Baptist World Mission. I also am with Baptist World Mission. I forgot I was going to start my timer. Anyway, I wanted to share. There are a few things that I like to share at every church that I go to if I have time. And so I thought maybe it would be helpful for you to know a little bit about me. I had the privilege of being raised in a pastor's home. My dad has pastored a church in Maryland since 1989. Prior to that, we were in Kansas. I was born in Kansas. And I'm the daughter of a pastor, but also, I think, technically fourth-generation ministry family, because my great-grandfather was a pastor, my grandfather was a pastor, my dad and now my generation were in the ministry by God's grace. But anyway, I knew as a 9-year-old, just because I was born into a pastor's home didn't mean that I was guaranteed a home in heaven. And so the Lord brought me under conviction as a 9-year-old child. I accepted Christ as my Savior and had the opportunity to continue to be raised in a godly home, which I'm so thankful for. And it's certainly been beneficial to me in launching me out into ministry and serving the Lord with my life. And as Pastor had mentioned, when I was 16 years old, I was diagnosed with cancer. And it was actually, we had no idea, obviously, that I had it. And I was making plans to go to college that fall because I had graduated early, was homeschooled. And the Lord closed the door. And I remember at the time that the Lord closed the door, my dad encouraged me. And he said, you know, Joanna, he said, he gave me the verses in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, where we're to trust in the Lord, not lean on our own understanding, and to acknowledge him with our past. And he encouraged me to do that. And so I thought, okay, well, I'm going to do that. And it was just a few short months later that I found out that I had cancer. And I just remember being so thankful that I had not gone to college and just waited on the Lord's timing. And so went through a process of surgery, treatments, and the treatment that I had to go through actually put me in isolation twice because I was so radioactive. It's a very unique treatment for the cancer that I had. And when I was 19, I had the opportunity to go to college for a little bit. And again, the Lord closed the door. I returned to Maryland to my dad's church and spent the next 10 years there working in various ministries, the mowing ministry, which I love. And I've actually been able to do some mowing this summer at some churches where I've been visiting and being a part of the music ministry as well. And it was during that time that my brother Matt and his family, they were my sister-in-law and my brother were married. They got married, moved back to Maryland to be with our church, and really became burdened about missions. And they were praying for countries in their family devotions, and they landed on Colombia and found out the great need in that country for gospel preaching missionaries. And so they began praying, and the Lord opened the door for them and made it clear to them that they should go to Colombia as missionaries. And I remember really just being not heartbroken, but surprised or shocked, and really hoping that that wasn't the Lord's will for their life, because I didn't want to lose my brother's children. And I'm so thankful that my brother was obedient to the Lord in that, because his obedience has impacted my life. And in 2018, I moved to North Carolina to begin work at Ambassador Baptist College. And it was while I was there at my sending church, Crossroads Baptist Church, that I came under the preaching of the missionary from West Africa and surrendered to go to the mission field if that was what the Lord wanted. And it took a process of time. It's really been several years of just being obedient to the Lord every day and acknowledging Him with what I know each day to do. And I won't go through all of that, but I had the opportunity to go to language school a few years ago to take care of my brother's children while he and my sister-in-law were in language school, and the Lord used that because I was exposed to Spanish every day for a semester. And when they went to the field, I returned to Ambassador Baptist College to work for a year and a half. And it was while I was there, the Lord brought missions really from the back burner to the forefront of my mind and my heart, and it wouldn't go away. And so finally, I just determined, you know, this is a good desire, and it's not going away. I need to do something about it. And I determined that as the Lord would open the doors, I would walk through them, and then whenever He would close them, that I would stop. And He has continually opened the doors. He opened the door for me to attend language school myself last year for a semester. And then after that, I spent 2 months in Colombia with my brother as a missionary intern to determine if indeed that's where the Lord is leading. And within the first week and a half of me being there, I knew that that's where I should return to serve the Lord for whatever time that He has for me. And so anyway, that's who I am and so forth. And so my brother's doing something called simultaneous church planting. And that is, he's basically a circuit riding preacher in an SUV. And so we work in a main church in Pasto. And then from the city of Pasto down to the border of Ecuador, we're 2 hours from the border of Ecuador, there are three churches that he has been able to be instrumental in starting since he's been on the field since 2021. And we have a Mexican missionary working in the church in Ipiales, which is very close to the Ecuadorian border. But my brother is working in the town of San Juan. And then Nariño, in my video, we actually did not have a church there last year when we made the video. But in February of this past year, my brother was able to start a church in that town. And so it's him, and he's working with nationals because we work with a national pastor in Pasto. But there's a lot of work that needs to be done in these really baby churches. And my sister-in-law is very busy because now they have seven children, ages 7 months to 10 years old. And so she's doing everything she can to be the wife and mom that God has called her to be. And so needless to say, there's a lot that needs to be done. And the Lord is opening doors for things that I can do in working in the ministries and in all four of the churches, really. And it is our desire to see a church planted in each of the 66 towns or cities in the Department of Nariño, which is where we work. And so anyway, Pastor had said that maybe I had some interesting news or story from my recent trips to Colombia. And I did have a unique opportunity in March to go to Colombia unexpectedly because I'm on deputation. I'm supposed to be on deputation, not going to Colombia right now, you know. But my brother developed an interesting health problem. He kept losing his vision. And they found out that he had something on the optic nerve in his brain. And so we were thinking cancer, MS, something, you know, very serious. And so I made a last-minute decision. I had like a two-week free spot in my schedule. And so I flew down to Colombia knowing that that's what the Lord wanted, to be with him, be with my sister-in-law and the children at that time. And I had no idea what the Lord was going to do in connection with just being in Colombia. And I had the opportunity to visit two classes in the University of Pasto. One of them, both of them English classes, we met at the museum for one. And the Lord gave a really unique opportunity to actually share the gospel in the English class in Pasto, which was really, to me, unbelievable. Someone asked me, how do you know for sure when you die that you are going to go to heaven? And I was like, wow, this is like such an open door, you know. And so I praise the Lord for that. And the Lord's shown some things in that, because Colombia is now considered a creative access country. And so I have to have a creative way to get into the country to in order to serve the Lord as a missionary. And so it looks as if there may be a possibility that I may be able to teach English. That's not my main focus, but that's to get me in the country and then to have open doors to ministering with people that maybe otherwise we wouldn't have. And then as I was returning from Colombia, I had three very interesting things happen as I was flying back on the three different flights. When I was checking into my flight in Bogota, Colombia, there was all of this hubbub off to the right and people getting pictures with this person and everything, and I didn't know who he was. And I looked at his suitcase, and I looked up the name. I was standing in their line, I looked up the name, and he's a Colombian country singer. And so I just sent the wiki article to my family. I was like, guess who I'm standing in line with? They're like, I have no idea who it is. And my brother texted back, and he's like, he's actually the second cousin of Pablo Escobar. So I don't know if you know that name, but he's sort of connected with the drugs in Colombia. He's deceased now. And so when I went to my gate to get on my flight to Atlanta, Georgia, he was on my flight to Atlanta, Georgia. And I had a tract from the church in Colombia, in Pasto, and I was like, I need to give him a tract. I don't want to get him a tract. I need to give him a tract. And I was like, Lord, if you put him near me when I get on the plane, I will give him a tract. And I was praying, give me the opportunity. And I needed boldness because I was scared to death to do this. And I walked onto the plane, and he was sitting right here within about 6 inches of me. And so I leaned down and I handed him the tract, and I was like, here, this is for you, in Spanish. And it says on the top, where in Spanish, where will you go when you die? And so the Lord gave that really unique opportunity to give the gospel to someone that I never thought that I would meet. And I was praying for him the other day that the Lord would just work in his heart and save him, because there was a purpose in that trip and the timing of all of that. And I just praise the Lord for that. So that's my time, sir. Sure.
Thank you for that wonderful testimony. I'll start us off, and then I hope you have some questions for Joanna tonight. But what will be your main responsibility once arriving on the field, once you get there?
For first semester, it's going to be finishing learning the language. And I know that sounds trite, but that's going to be my main focus.
Following that,
it's going to depend. It will really honestly depend on the visa situation. If it's teaching English, then it's going to be figuring out how to juggle my time between. We're praying that the Lord will open up another way for me to go where I won't have to do that, because that would take me from being able to work in the churches and the ministries. But to be able to really to be able to acquire the language as soon as possible and jump in primarily with the two very young churches in discipleship and so forth with the ladies and the children.
And I know you play in the piano. And
music as well,
so
yes.
Right,
yes,
off,
with music, yes.
Maybe we could get a microphone fired up for. Go ahead, Lori.
I was just wondering about your brother.
Oh yes, yeah. Thank you. I should have said that. They believe he has something called antiphospholipid syndrome, which basically means his blood clots. And so they had already determined that something was going on with that, and so they put him on blood thinners for the rest of his life. So he did have an episode about a week and a half ago where he partially lost his vision, but it wasn't completely. So there is improvement in that. And he's maintained his ministry pace pretty much since all of this has taken place. So he loses it for about 30 minutes and then it comes back. And he has no way of knowing. He doesn't know what triggers it. 36. Miss Tammy. Oh, this gentleman? Who's building? Miss Tammy?
Miss Tammy.
Miss Tammy.
Will you live alone, or do you already have a place to stay where you will live?
I will live alone. I did have a place to stay, but I stayed in an apartment by myself when I was there during the internship. But I will live alone in the city of Pasto, Lord willing, because I'm a single lady. I'm choosing to live in, we would consider it a higher end apartment building, but it's really not. It is, but it isn't. But they have 24/7 security, and you can only enter the building, and they can only come up to my apartment if I have said they may come up. So obviously anything can still happen, but that's a lot better than living outside the city.
So where is your brother in relation to where you'll be staying? Does he live in the same city?
He does, yes.
Okay.
So basically he lives right outside the city, and it's about 2 miles. But because of traffic, it takes about 45 minutes to get to. That's how far we've been. It's 2 miles, so it's not that great distance.
So you mentioned that he was a circuit riding preacher in the SUV.
Uh-huh.
So how far does he travel, and is it like, you know, week by week, or does he travel to all churches in one day, or what?
He travels to 2 churches on Sunday. When I was there last summer, we were in 5 services and 3 churches on a Sunday.
Okay.
So we start in Pasto and go down all the way almost to the border of Ecuador and return back to Pasto by midnight on Sundays. He is Tuesday and Thursday and Saturday, he's teaching in the Bible Institute that is in the church in Pasto, so he stays in the city. And then on Wednesdays, he drives 45 minutes over to the town of Nariño for Wednesday Bible study. And then Friday, they drive 1.5 hours to San Juan as a family to the church there. They do Bible club Saturday morning. He can't go to that, but they have that going on. And then Sunday morning, he's in Pasto for 2 services, and then they head over to San Juan for the afternoon service. So it's about up to 1.5 hours. He said, I think it was today, that they spent about 12 hours on the road each week as a family.
So it sounds like a lot of opportunities for children's ministries and other things that you can do to help him.
It is, yeah. And my sister-in-law is doing a lot, and she's doing what she can. But I know she kind of stresses out because security is a big thing, especially in the town of San Juan. And so we're on heightened alert to make sure we're keeping track of their children and the children in the town, too, but especially my brother's children.
Yeah, I was just wondering what happened the country's become a creative access country, and how does that affect your ministry directly?
Okay, so it happened. My brother had just gotten in under the wire in 2021, and then a new government came in. I believe it's the first socialist president that Colombia has had. He actually was part of the M19 as a teenager. And so you think about the stuff that he was involved in before he grew up and he became the president of Colombia. And so there is not, they have changed the visa requirements for the religious visa. My brother got in under the religious visa. And thankfully, he started the path to residency, and their daughter was born in Colombia as well, so that helped. So he is a permanent citizen. He is on, or permanent residence. He's on track to be a permanent citizen of Colombia in a few years, Lord willing. So he's good. But that is different for me. So in order to get a religious visa now, you have to go in with a church that can show you that they have $25,000 in the bank. And I can promise you that there is no independent fundamental Baptist church in Colombia that can prove that. It would be a Catholic church, Mormon church, so forth. And so I can get 1 of 3 visas at this time, a nomad visa, which would mean I'd need to work in the United States remotely in Colombia, or to be a student, which is how I'm going to get in initially, we believe, to learn the language, and then a worker's visa. So it's the requirements have made it very difficult for missionaries, and we have heard of many really good missionaries that have had to leave the country since this president came in because they can't stay under their visa anymore. So I don't know if that answers your question.
Let's get you a mic.
Did that answer your question, sir?
Thank you.
Okay.
I'm curious about your sister-in-law and the 7 children.
Uh-huh.
Tell me about, is she there with them in homeschooling and following her husband?
Yes. So she homeschools all the children. So the 4 older ones are in school. And then
homeschooling.
She's homeschooling, uh-huh. Yes. And then usually a lot of this stuff will be afternoons, mid-afternoons, to evenings when they go to the churches. So
Wow. Usually
they're done by school then, or they just don't have to do it.
Wow. That's wonderful.
So,
God bless her.
Do it when they can, yeah.
All right.
It takes a lot. I was really impressed with I'm impressed with the children anyway, but I was very impressed when I was there in March. They go with it. They are in the bus all kinds of hours, and they just roll with it, and they love it. So it's a blessing.
So I think you said you're at 50%.
Close to.
What kind of time frame to when you head to language school, and how are things
shaping
up?
Thankfully, I will not have to do language school prior to going to the country because I already have a semester behind me, and I am somewhat conversational, although it's a little harder in the States, so you were talking about this earlier. And so I hope by the early part of next year, there's a caveat because with my mission board, there are certain conferences that I need to fulfill prior to going to the field. But I'm fairly confident that I'm at 100% at the end of this year. Maybe there would be an allowance made and I could just fly back for those conferences. I don't know. But I hope by the end of the year that I would be at 100%. That's my desire. The Lord's in control of that, and you know that.
Thank you so much, Joanne. I hope you'll take an opportunity to. Amen. I hope you'll take an opportunity to go by and speak with her after the service. And I know she'd be glad. Maybe you had some questions that you would like to ask her before she leaves out. I'm sure she'll be there to answer those things. And thank you for that. I tell you, the Lord is opening up doors all around us. And as Paul said, the Lord had opened up an effectual open door for him. But he said, he followed that up saying, there are many adversaries. And we understand what that means, don't we? As Christians, God's children, we understand that Paul is talking about that there is going to be an attempt of the evil one to keep us from going forward with the gospel. Would you turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Turn my lapel mic on here. 1 Thessalonians get past Corinthians and Colossians, and then you should run right into Thessalonians. If you've gone to Timothy, you've gone too far. But just flip back to Thessalonians, the first epistle here, chapter 2. I'm just going to read, just going to kind of keep it brief tonight, but I'd like to draw your attention to verse 17. And I'm going to read through verse 20. The Bible says, In First Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 17, but we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope? Or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Let's pray. Father, I pray that You would help me in these next few moments share what You put upon my heart in light of missions, in light of reaching souls for Thee, Lord. Help us to realize that our time is short. Lord, the day is spent. And Lord, I pray that we would have a burden and see the souls of Columbia and in our community and around the world like You do. Help us now, Lord, even tonight, to get a glimpse of the way You want us to reach this world for Jesus Christ. I pray these things in His name. Amen. Notice with me there, we see the hindrance that Paul was referring to in seeing these believers that he had won to the Lord. Remember, Paul was a missionary, right? We know those three missionary journeys, four if you count his journey to Rome. But we see how he was writing to these folks, looking and longing to see them again. You know, by the way, we do know
that he did get to see them again. You go to Acts chapter 20 and you see the account where he was able to pass through Thessalonica again. So God gave him that desire. Aren't you thankful God gives us the desires of our heart? Hey, listen, God is always listening to our heart's cry. He knows where we're at as we preach this morning. He knows what you're seeking to do, and he is moved by that. You ever thought about that? You know that loved one you're praying for? You know that neighbor you're burdened for? You know that situation you're moved with compassion about, and you're praying for a breakthrough? Listen, I want to tell you, God is moved by that. You say, how do you know God's moved by that? Because it says in the Bible that when Jesus looked on the multitudes, the Bible says he was moved with compassion. That, you know who's getting that burden and being moved with compassion in your heart? It's the Lord Jesus living through you. He knows about that, and he's moved with that. He's pleased when we are seeking souls for the Savior. And even and God knows when we're being hindered. He knows that he's given the enemy room to run, if you will, on in this world. But I do believe that even them, the adversaries trying to hinder the gospel going forth, God's people realize, you know what? We're just going to keep pressing forward. Even when we are hindered. Even when they do change visa laws, and even when they do tweak this and that or whatever the case may be, we're going to never give up in getting the gospel to the world. I'm thankful for missionaries like Joanna Smith who have stepped out by faith and said, God, if I can be used of you to reach the souls of Colombia, here am I. I'm grateful for that. I'm moved by that. I'm sure you are too tonight. And I pray that God would continue to keep his hand upon Joanna and her brother and his wife and the children as they reach those precious souls for whom Jesus died. But let me draw your attention to this. This is my main thought here tonight. Yes, Satan was hindering them, but notice verse 19. I love this. Paul said, "For what is our hope? Or joy or crown of rejoicing?" He says, rhetorical question here. Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? That word there, if you notice crown in verse 19, that's the Greek word stephanos. That's the reward that they would give or award that they would give for those athletes that were running the race or whatever competition they were in. They would be crowned with that and in front of the spectators. And it was a big event. That's what he's talking about here. And it goes back to even what we were talking about this morning. Listen, all of us as believers, we're going to be receiving some rewards for what you're doing. And this is what some have even referred to as the soul winner's crown. Because what Paul is saying here, if you can try to envision this, and I've tried, and I'm saying I have it all perfect in my mind. I'm just trying to use my sanctified imagination here. But when I see one day when we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, the judgment seat of Christ, Paul says, you know what one of my joys is going to be? One of the things I'm going to be greatly excited about is my crown's actually going to be you. Your presence standing before Jesus Christ is going to be something I'm greatly looking forward to. The presence of these souls, because they came to know Jesus through his ministry, he said, that's my crown. And this word rejoicing here is not just yay. No, this is actually, in the Greek, it's very strong. It's exultation. It's a zealous and fervent excitement. Kind of like, you know, when your kid is playing that T-ball or playing ball. Some of you guys have had children play sports. You know how excited you get when your kid makes that play or gets out there and does a good job. I've seen some of the most timid people in my life totally transform at a ball game. They get excited. They'll hop up and scream, yeah! Way to go, Johnny! Sally! Woo! That was a good hit. Way to move. Yeah, man, that's good stuff. Man, I'm proud of that boy. I'm proud of that girl. You know, it's excitement. Move like that. Well, you know, that's what Paul's talking about. That's what moved Paul's heart. The precious souls that were trusting Christ. I pray that's what will move our heart as a church. And sometimes it's not just reaping that we're talking about. We're talking about sowing seeds too. We're sowing seeds by supporting missionaries like Joanna Smith that will go to Colombia when God hasn't called us to Colombia. But He's called us to support missionaries like this. That's something we get excited about when we read the victory report of missionaries from the field. Hey, so-and-so got saved. Hey, this church was planted. So-and-so's being discipled. God's people ought to be saying, glory! Amen! You know how excited the dogs get, right? You know, dog season? Oh, he's saying he started preaching now. Amen! I'm not being down on that. You watch a ball game with me, I get excited too. I think it's a lot of fun. But, you know, with all seriousness, I am reminded, may it never be more exciting to watch a ball game than it is to see a precious soul come to Christ. Oh, God, help us. May it never be. May it never be. God, give us a holy fervency to point people to Christ. And then when they do trust Christ, yes, glory to God. And one day when we stand before the Lord, I believe we see here, this is God's holy word. What is going to be our hope and joy at the judgment seat of Christ? One part of it's going to be seeing the precious souls that we had a part in leading to Calvary. Think about that. Oh. Let's start naming off some countries. I want you to help me out here. Start naming off some countries where we have missionaries right now where we're supporting. All right. Indonesia. Amen. What else? Israel. China. I don't know if we have a missionary right now in China, but we need a missionary in China. Amen. Japan. Canada. Taiwan. Suriname. California. That is a foreign field, brother. Tim? Where'd you? Oh, you're just waving. Yeah, okay. Amen. That's an amen. Atlanta. Amen. Now, I didn't tell y'all to start speaking in tongues. Now, what was that over here? Kenya. Madagascar. Excellent. Where else? Dominican Republic. Idaho. What was that? Burkina Faso. Ireland. Scotland. South Africa. Dominican, Mexico. Hey, all these ones that we're calling out, we're supporting missionaries there currently proclaiming Christ and seeing souls saved. And that's going to be a part of our rejoicing at the judgment seat of Christ. Isn't that beautiful? I love that. But let it not, and this is what I close with, let it not negate the responsibility that you and I have in reaching souls right here in Jackson County, in Athens Clark. Let's go. Let's get them. Let's go after them. Let's lead them to Christ. And let's rejoice together. Because He says to these precious souls, for ye, the people that had trusted the Lord, ye are our glory and joy. As the song said, may we not go to the Lord empty-handed. But may we do everything we can in the power that God has given unto us to point as many as we can to the cross. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this evening. I thank You for Your grace and mercy that You have showed unto us. I thank You for Joanna Smith's testimony tonight and how You've called her to Columbia. Help us, Lord, to be prayerful about considering partnering with her. in seeing those precious souls trust you. Lord, I pray that you would even move tonight in this invitation. With heads bowed and eyes closed, the piano can start playing. I just want to give this question. Is there anyone here that said, Pastor, I believe God has touched my heart tonight about being a missionary? Maybe you don't know where, and you don't know when, you don't know all the details, but tonight you just sense a prompting, a move of God on your heart to surrender, to go to the mission field. And you'd say, Pastor, would you pray for me? That God would help me get clarity in this. Would you just raise your hand so that I can pray for you? Anybody like that tonight?